Well, we're coming together again to God's Word, the book of Genesis, the chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. And I would like to take as my text for this morning the words of verse 63. And we come here to consider the meditation of Isaac. Verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. As we come to God's Word, let us unite together in a brief word of prayer and ask the Lord for help as we preach His Word this morning. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank Thee for Thy presence with us, for help that has been given already in our coming together. And we do praise Thee, O God, for Thy precious Word. And we rejoice that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we pray that as we come to Thine own inspired Word, that we might realize afresh, O God, that we come not to cunningly devised fables, but we come to that more sure word of prophecy, a word, O God, upon which we can depend, a word that is able to make us wise unto salvation. And therefore, our Father, we pray for that divine enlightenment. We pray for help from heaven, the infilling of Thy Spirit. Grant, O God, that wisdom would be given, and that everything that would be said and done would be God-honoring and God-glorifying, we pray in the Savior's great name. Amen. Well, I believe we all meditate upon something. We all have those minds. There are certain subjects that would occupy our minds. There are certain subjects that would occupy our thoughts. There are certain things that we would take time to consider. And even the world has its forms of meditation. We would hear about transcendental meditation, and they would encourage you to sit down with your legs crossed and with your palms facing upward and your eyes closed. And they would be saying you're trying to connect with your inner self and you're trying to clear your mind. Well, that's not the meditation that I would be speaking about this morning. We believe that scriptural meditation and the meditation of the Christian is the very opposite to that of the world. We're not trying to clear our minds. The Christian would be trying to fill their mind. And we're filling our mind with the Word of God, with the Scriptures of truth. And we would be wanting to turn over the things of God, to meditate upon them and to consider them. And the idea would be not to connect with ourselves, but to connect with the Lord and to know that sweet fellowship with meditation has been. Of course, that practice of Christian meditation has been likened onto the cow chewing the cud. And those who are familiar with the farm and with the cow, that whenever it eats something, it will go and lie down and it will regurgitate that food. I'm sorry if you're already thinking about your dinner and it might be a little off-putting, but the cow regurgitates the food back up out of the stomach and it begins to chew it again for the second time. And it's trying to withdraw all of the minerals and the nutrients and the goodness out of that food that the cow would benefit physically. Now, if we apply that spiritually to our meditation and we are chewing over the things of God and we are thinking about God's precious Word, we're wanting to draw all of the goodness out of that Word. And we're wanting to benefit from that spiritually. And so this is a practice that every believer should be engaged in, turning to God's Word. And as Paul encouraged the Colossians, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, though that we would meditate upon that word. When you look at our text of Scripture here in Genesis 24 and the verse 63, it tells us about Isaac, and he went out to meditate in the field. Now the word here, meditate, is a word that is exclusive to Isaac. In your English Bible, you would come across that word on a number of occasions, but in the original, this is the only place where this particular word occurs, and therefore it's unique to Isaac. It's a word with an uncertain origin, but it's a word that means to think. And we would already associate that idea with the word meditate. We're beginning to think. If you have a margin in your Bible, you'll see perhaps that it also means to pray. And we would well associate meditation and prayer. In fact, the Puritans would have told us that meditation was that preparation for prayer. And they would say that on hearing the Word of God or on reading the Word of God, and you begin then to meditate upon that Word, that it will lead you to pray. And it was Matthew Henry who said, meditation is the best preparation for prayer. And so when we're turning over God's Word and we're thinking on the things of God and we're beginning to meditate, it will inevitably draw us out in prayer. And it will bring us into that fellowship with the Lord. And that's all behind this particular word, meditate. But I discovered it also means to walk. And that's perhaps an idea that we would not associate with meditating. To walk. He's gone out into the field, he's walking. Picture Isaac here, and he has gone out into the field, he's walking. And in fact, whenever Rebecca sets eyes, man is this that walketh in the field? Actually said, what man is this that walketh in the field? And so Isaac, as he went out there to the field to meditate, he was walking. And we could say he was walking with God. We often speak about an individual who is going on with the Lord. They're walking with God. And there's the thought behind that meditation. Whenever you connect it with walking, it's a... Therefore, today as we've come to God, therefore today as we've come to God's house, and we've heard the Word of God being read, and we're coming to meditate upon that Word and to preach that Word, we should be taking the Word of God away with us. Not just as soon as you get out of God's house that that word just evaporates away, or we allow the fowls of the air to come and to pluck away the good seed of the gospel. No, take that word, and like the psalmist, seek to hide that word within your heart and meditate upon God's precious truth. And as we come briefly together to think about Isaac's meditation, there are a number of things I want you to notice here. The first thing is the solitude in his meditation. Here's a man going out by him, went out. Here's a man going out by himself. And he's purposely going out by himself. And we believe he's wanting to get alone with God. Here's a man who is taking that time aside and he wants to get before the Lord. And as it tells us that Isaac went out, it would suggest to us that it was a habit that he had cultivated. Perhaps it was a daily habit that he wanted to get alone with the Lord. We live in a modern age and there are so many demands upon our time, so many things that would be pressing in upon us, all of these responsibilities, and they can be legitimate things, but we need to take that time aside. When we ourselves would get alone with God. And Isaac here is the example to us in that, to come aside with determination. There, when you think of the words that says, and Isaac went out. We would perhaps just read over that very casually, but whenever you would look again at the original, the verb there, went out, it's a very strong word, and it indicates a determined purpose, a definite manner. The word would be used to describe the soldier, the soldiers going forth to battle. That would speak of the shepherd going out. The shepherd going out to face the wild beasts and to protect the flock. They're going out with a definite purpose. It's like the sailor who goes out to sea to face the ocean there. It's used of the slave that would go forward at the bidding of their master. And so whenever you connect those various pictures there with the words, you can see that as Isaac went out, he wasn't just casually going out to wander. He was going out with a determined purpose. He was going out with a focus, laying aside everything else. He was wanting to get alone with the Lord. It was Robert Murray McShane. And he said something to the effect of, what a man is alone with God, that he is and no more. We must come at the example that is given to us here, come aside to that place of solitude where we can get before the Lord. Didn't the Savior himself adopt that practice as well when he was upon this earth? And in Luke 22 and the verse 39, it says, he went out as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And there's the Lord Jesus Christ. He oft times was wont. In other words, it was his habit. He oft times resorted to that place, and he went out as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. He's showing us there that habit that we ought to cultivate, to get alone before the Lord and to meditate. And so we see the solitude in his meditation. But I want you to notice, secondly, the scene of his meditation. Our text says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field. And there's that time of solitude with the Lord out in the open air. Out there in the open field. And we've indicated already for the Lord it was the Mount of Olives. The Lord had his place and Isaac had his place for meditation. The open field, away from all of the hustle and bustle of a busy life. And he's out there alone. He's able to view God's creation around him. That's the scene that he would have taken in. And whenever you think of that, and we go outside and we look into the heavens, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's a message there. And you just have to take time to view God's creation, and that as you meditate upon it, there's much there that would bring us to say there's a creator God. Meditation upon the very scenery around us. Job 37, the verse 14, it says, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. There's Isaac, he's out in the open field and he's viewing there the wondrous works of God. You think of the Lord in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And you think there of the Savior's words to those around him. And he said in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air. And he's asking us to look to the birds. Behold the fowls of the air. And he said to those that were hearing, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And you can look at God's creation, you can look into the heavens, you can look to the very fowls of the air, and they will bring us, as we meditate upon them, to that conclusion, there's a God in heaven. Now those little birds are amazing. You ever see the thousands of starlings that gather together? And you see those massive clouds of starlings, thousands of them. And they're all making those patterns in the sky. Murmuration is the word for it. And those murmurations of the starlings there would baffle even the scientists. They don't know how they can do it. They can all fly in unison together in one direction, and then in a moment they can all change direction and go the other way without one of them touching the other. You just behold the fowls of the air. It'll bring you to the conclusion there's a God in heaven, the creator of the ends of the earth. Meditate upon these things. The Lord also said in Matthew 6, in the verse 28, consider the lilies of the field. You look at this time of the year to the flowers that are beginning to bloom and come out, and you see their color, you see their beauty, and the Lord is wanting us to consider these things, just the very natural creation. And when you consider the lily in all its beauty, the Lord said, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So the very scenery of the meditation is bringing you to that conclusion. There's a God. There's a God in heaven. Viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation, the hymn writer said, because it's drawing our hearts out after God. The solitude in his meditation, the scenery in his meditation, the season of his meditation. It tells us there in our text of Scripture, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. It's the time whenever the toil and labors of the day are all over. Everything else has been laid aside. The sun is beginning to set in the sky. The stars are beginning to appear as the darkness falls. There's a chilling breeze. There's a quietness. There's a stillness. That's a good time to meditate. To come aside. To get alone with the Lord. The Psalms tell us about David. In fact, in the very first Psalm, it tells us of David. And he said, in thy law will I meditate day and night. Day and night. And he was coming to meditate on the Word of God and the things of God day and night. You think of Daniel, and it tells us of Daniel three times a day. He would set aside that time to get before the Lord, and he would pray three times a day. In Psalm 63, in the verse 6, it speaks about meditating in the night watches. And having that particular season whenever we can come and we can get alone with the Lord. And Joshua, you remember in the first chapter of Joshua, he was being told to be strong and of good courage. And three times in that chapter, in just a few verses, he's being commanded, be strong and of good courage. But what's the secret to being strong in the Lord and of good courage? Well, I believe in Joshua 1 and the verse 8, it gives there the secret. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And what's the key to being strong and courageous in the Lord? It is meditating upon His Word day and night. Joshua needed those times of meditation. And when you see these examples in God's Word of those men, and we would look at them as spiritual giants, great characters in the Word of God, they were strong for the Lord because they had those times of meditation. They had a season whenever they set everything else aside. They got alone with the Lord. Then I want you to think in the fourth place about the subject of his meditation. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And I wondered, what was he meditating upon? What was the focus of his thoughts? What was it that was going over in his mind as he meditated there before the Lord? Well, from the context of the preceding chapters, I'm sure we could get some idea. We could suggest what was going through his mind at this particular time. Isaac, you see, had had a number of upheavals in his life. And you would read about those upheavals. You would remember Genesis chapter 22, and we could say that was the Moriah experience. And there's Isaac with his father Abraham, and they're going up Mount Moriah, and they're going there to worship the Lord and to sacrifice to the Lord. And Isaac turns to the father, and he said, well, we've got the wood, and we've got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? Abraham said to his son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And as they continued up Mount Moriah, Isaac would realize that he was to be that sacrifice. And whenever everything is laid there in order, the altar is there, and the wood is there, and the fire is there, it tells us that Abraham bound his son, he tied him, and he placed him upon the altar, and Abraham lifts up his knife, and he's ready to plunge it into Isaac, and the Lord intervened, and the Lord said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Isaac had the Moriah experience. What was that? It was a brush with death. He had a brush with death. And maybe here today in this congregation, I'm sure there would be those, and you could look to times in your life, whether through circumstances or whether through health, you could say, I had a brush with death. May that makes you think. That changes things. That puts things into perspective. That makes you, at least for a time, change your priorities. Do you know, after Moriah, the first time then after that we read about Isaac, he's meditating. Now, whenever you have a brush with death, you start to think about the things of God more. You start to consider the hereafter and eternity. And what if you had passed away? And it's good that you would come to that point, most especially if you're not saved. You need to come to that point. You need to get right with God. But even for the believer, maybe you could look to a point in your life where you could say, from then I got my priorities right. And I realized what was really of value and worth in this life. And I took more time for the things of God, for those times of devotion, for that service to the Lord. The Moriah experience. Isaac went out to meditate in the field. I believe that was still in his mind. Chapter 23 of Genesis. What happened in chapter 23? Well, there's the mourning experience. He lost his mother in Genesis chapter 23. Lost his mother. And so the loss of a mother in the life of a young man, that's not an easy thing. Bereavement is never easy, no matter what form it comes to us. But whenever you think of Isaac's experience here, and he's going to lose his mother, that's especially hard. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 35, he was describing a situation in his life where he spoke about being bowed down heavily. Being bowed down heavily. And then he was thinking of an illustration to describe being bowed down heavily. And he said, as one that mourneth for his mother. As one that mourneth for his mother. And therefore, when he wanted that illustration of one who would feel the heaviness, being bowed down and being burdened, he could think of no greater illustration than the loss of a mother. And you can see that that was something that was here playing on the heart of Isaac as well, because at the very end of the chapter 24 of our Bible reading, it says, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So as he went out there in the field to meditate, he was going out with a heavy heart. He was going out with sorrow still in his heart. And there are those today who would have sorrow in their heart. We can come to the place of meditation where we are alone with the Lord, and we can cast all our cares upon the one who cares for us, the one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the sympathizing Jesus. The subject of his meditation, there was the Moriah experience, there was the mourning experience. And then in our Bible reading, you would have realized there was the marriage experience. Isaac, you see, is contemplating his future. And he would have been aware of the errand that Eliezer was on. Eliezer, the servant, had gone to seek a bride for Isaac. And he was to have a bride from amongst his own people. He was not to marry the Canaanite. And therefore, Eliezer is now coming, and Isaac, with the whole thought of his marriage and of his future, he wants to take time to come aside and to meditate. And he's a good example to us here. And to young people and to anyone who would be contemplating marriage, it's not to be entered upon lightly, but thoughtfully, reverently, and in the fear of the Lord. When Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, he could have been thinking about that brush that he had with death on Moriah. He would have been thinking about the loss of his mother and the sorrow and the heaviness, but he's thinking as well about the future and about his marriage. And all these things are good to bring before the Lord in prayer. As you think upon those things, we're all familiar today with the satellite navigation system. Well, meditation will navigate you to prayer. It will bring you to prayer. When you realize that these things are matters that carry great weight, then we need to bring them to the Lord in prayer. Matters that are going to be life-changing. Matters that are going to have very serious consequences. You need to bring them to the Lord in prayer. This Isaac went out into the field at the eventide to meditate. He would have been meditating upon his master and upon his Lord. You know, that's the greatest meditation, to meditate upon the Lord. To think of the Lord's great love toward us. To think of his goodness and his mercy. To think of his grace. To think that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. To think of how the Savior suffered upon that center tree. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We can meditate upon the cross work of Christ. Psalm 104 and the verse 34, the psalmist meditated upon the Lord and he said this, "My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." My meditation of him shall be sweet. And I encourage you today to take that time aside and to meditate upon the Lord. That will be a great encouragement to our hearts. Whenever we feel perhaps our weakness and our frailty and the things that we encounter in this life are building up upon us, consider him, the Apostle Paul says. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And so here we're encouraged today with Isaac to meditate upon the Lord, and that our meditation of him would be sweet. One final thought today, that is the success of his meditation. As our text of Scripture goes on, it says, "And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming." He lifted up his eyes, so he had been bowed down there. He had been seeking the Lord in prayer. But as he lifts up his eyes and he looks, he sees the camels are coming. Do you know what that was an indication of? answer to prayer, because the camels there are coming and they're bearing the answer to prayer. They're bringing Rebekah to him. And the Lord has heard his prayer. And the Lord is revealing his plan and his will for the life of Isaac. You see the success of meditating upon the Lord and seeking his face in prayer. There's great benefit and there's great blessing there. And God will send the camels. God will bring that answer. God will bring that blessing. And I trust today, as we are encouraged to seek the Lord and to meditate upon him, that you might know that by experience, and that you would know that success and that blessing in your own Christian life, and that the Lord would lead you further, further up the mountainside of blessing with him. We trust that the Lord will bless these thoughts to our hearts.